Well, welcome back.
Okay, we're going to pretend this is the first time.
Christmas special. What were the other jokes we already
used? Yes.
Latkes, we like latkes. It's the Hanukkah special.
Yeah, Lucas's recording failed, so we have to restart here. And so this is all natural, 100%. This is us first time through. Yeah,
you're seeing behind the curtain, which Tim also told a story about the curtain in his house, speaking of that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's this disgusting curtain that I put in my second room to record voiceovers. It's actually like when you go to like a little clothing store, I guess, and they have that tiny little change room that's just a curtain. That doesn't really work. And you're like, why am I here? I'm literally out in the open with a thin sheet between me and seeing a stranger in my butt, basically. That's actually one thing I wanted to talk about. I don't know if maybe I can try and send you this photo from my phone while we're talking about this, or maybe just show it to you. But there have been too many instances in the last couple of months where I go to a public space, go to a public washroom, and I'm finding urinals that are just beyond poorly designed. Okay. Oh, here's one. Where was this? This must have been, I think
I'm glad
this was
you
at
said design.
The convention center, Canada Place. Can you see that?
Okay, I can see that. And for context, okay, so leave it up. Let me try and describe it.
You're trying to describe
it. So Tim's talking about bad urinals, okay? So what I'm looking at currently is the corner of a toilet, a room. And so let's assume it's a square room. I don't know. Maybe it's a rhombus. I don't know. But there's a corner. I can see a corner.
Yeah.
And there is three urinals. There's three urinals there. Now, how would you set up three urinals in a corner?
It's like one square meter of space. It's fucking disgusting.
There's two on the left and one on the right. If I was to imagine somebody standing at one of the ones on the left that touches the one on the right, I think you'd be butt to left thigh. That's how I would describe it.
It would honestly be brushing. It would be brushing. And if not in progress, then definitely as you exit. Like, definitely. I don't understand. Like, luckily the whole place, like the whole washroom was empty at the time. Otherwise, I wouldn't pull out my camera and start taking photos because you get thrown in jail for that. But
definitely.
Yeah, where was the other one? I encountered one not long after that at a hotel downtown. It was kind of like the same fucking thing. Oh, shit, maybe I deleted it. I think I did. But it was the same thing. It's like where... Oh, no, here it is.
Okay.
So there's a urinal. There's two urinals in this bathroom. And then there's two toilet stalls in this bathroom. But the one stall door opens right up into the other urinal. So if there's a dude peeing there and you've just done taking a dump, you open the door, you are literally spitting distance. I don't know how you'd say it. You can breathe on the guy.
You're just breathing
on him.
There's
not like,
you can help
him
shake.
And it's one of those situations where you have to, yeah, look, help him shake. It's one of those situations where you'd have to, you know, you'd have to do the whole little, oh, I just got to sneak right past you. You know, that little thing that you do when you try and squeeze behind someone at the grocery store. Oh, I just got to sneak behind you. That's how much, how little space there is. Oh, pardon me. And then you do like a little brush. Like you're standing up on an airplane on the seat and you're like, do I give them the butt or do I give them my crotch? What do I do?
Yeah.
And like,
these are good questions to ask.
I don't know. Jesus.
Well, welcome to our special edition of the Wonder Boys podcast happening today.
Yeah,
it's
the
Christmas
Eve toilet special.
Christmas Eve toilet special with a
That's
Hanukkah
the time
shout
of recording. Out. We might not be able to get this out on actual Christmas because you've got literal celebrations to take care of tonight, don't you?
Yeah, I could probably do it tonight. If you cut it fast enough, I could probably do it tonight.
Well, I'll cut it fast enough. I took time off work, so I got so much time.
Good man.
Some people were asking me, like, oh, you're working Christmas Eve? Because you usually work Sundays. I'm like, no. Never.
Not today. Do it.
Not this year. No, I originally took 2 weeks off, and I was like, me tired. Me take 3 weeks off. So I'm taking 3 weeks off. It's pretty nice.
Very nice.
Mostly to take care of my boys.
Well, yeah. So yeah, I think that, I don't know if that made it into this cut, but you're single dad parent, pet parent.
I am. I'm a single dad, and there's three boys in this household. We have a cat who is biting my hand right now, and the puppy is like 9 months old. So Sarah's gone away. She's hiking Mount Kilimanjaro. The whitest thing ever. Let's fly to another country to climb a mountain.
I have a funny story about that. There's a guy I work with who actually shares a birthday with me. He has the exact same birthday, same year, same day, same everything. He is currently on his way to Kenya to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Now, how fucking funny would it be if Sarah and this guy's name is Brian meet on Mount Kilimanjaro?
Ran into each other. Yeah, I'll tell her.
And start talking, and start talking to each other.
Apparently, there is Wi-Fi on the mountain, so you can...
Because, of course, there is.
Video chat. Yeah, I know. I said that is... She just told me this yesterday, and I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, there's Wi-Fi on Mount Kilimanjaro. She's like, yeah, it's a big tourist destination. I'm like, I think it defeats the point, though. It kind of defeats the
100%
point.
100% does.
It's probably not, like, super reliable because you're thousands of meters in the air, but I don't know. Like, it's such a strange thing to have.
Funny.
Yeah, what's his name? Brian, you said? Brian?
Brian Steele.
Oh, my gosh. This man has the coolest name in the world.
He does.
Only thing cooler is if he, like, legally changed his name to Max Steele.
I think that's his brother's name.
And became, like, a police detective. It is his brother's name?
I think his brother has a similar, like, ridiculous...
Like Rex Steele.
Maximus Steele.
Even Jack Steele would be a good one, like an 80s cop. Lethal Weapon 6. It's a new character, no more Murtaugh and what's the other guy's name?
I don't know, but did you see they're doing another Beverly Hills Cop, speaking of like 70s.
With Eddie Murphy, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, cool. Excellent.
I'm glad it's not a reboot.
No. It's like a new on top of and next gen.
I watched that the original movie with Sarah a little while ago. It's like a year ago. We watched the original Beverly Hills Cop, and I didn't remember how violent it was. Like, there's lots of blood squibs, and he's killing people left and right. And Sarah doesn't always like movies like that. So we're sitting there watching it, and she's like, "Wow, they're really killing these people." I was like, "Oh yeah, I didn't realize. My bad."
I believe you got
good movie though, right?
It's funny. 12-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, good movie. I think it's just because mom and dad liked it, or at least dad liked it. He's like, yeah, it's fine. Watch it. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you, I mean, it's a similar story, right? I'm sure dad was like, this is a great film. My mom was like, I'm impartial to it.
Yeah, I love it. A lot of violence, though.
Love a bit of violence.
How many people you got coming for your Christmas celebration? What are we talking for Christmas today?
There's only three people coming today. We got a South African coming over, and we got a Scottish man, and we have a Uruguayan woman.
You just stand at the airport and, you know, advertise for a Christmas dinner, or like, what do you do?
Yeah, actually, that's what we did last year. That's how these people are coming back. Yeah, exactly. That would be funny.
Jeez, like
funny.
You've got the United Nations at your fucking Christmas dinner.
Well, these are all the orphans, right? The people who wouldn't go back or won't go back to home for Christmas. So Uruguay is quite far away.
Oh, so you're
South Africa.
So you're also taking care of the kids this Christmas. You're taking care of
exactly. It's a different style.
Your own kids. Yeah. That's pretty good, though. That's fun.
Yeah, it will be. I think.
Did you get them to bring anything unique from like Uruguay? Like, oh, bring a Uruguay dish.
No. We're going to make sushi. Everyone's going to help him.
Okay, sushi on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I do like non-sushi. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's very cool, though. That's cool. Do you have any plans for Christmas Day? Does London shut down on Christmas Day? What happens?
Fully. Oh, my God. It's wild. London, England, the whole
like the weekend, like a bank holiday where everything's... Oh, yeah. Yeah,
exactly. So, it'll be everything... From probably now, actually, 4 o'clock, stores will be shut from now until Boxing Day at like 11 a.m. Like, that's when they'll open again. But it's like everything shuts except this one Pret a Manger near Tower of London. But that's it.
Wow. And they probably ask people who don't care about Christmas to work that day because they're like, no one's going to come in, you know?
Well, just be scrolling your phone. Yeah, exactly. You'd be chilling. Last year when we walked by, that's how I know this one Pret a Manger open. We walked by Tower Bridge and it was this Pret was open. I was like, sick.
Whoa. Yeah. It's probably open just because Tower Bridge tourist traffic, I guess. Like, people want to spend Christmas in a different country. Or
exactly.
I've seen three people that I know have gone to London for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Or Europe, I guess. But like, last week, people were showing photos of London and all the Christmas lights and stuff. So maybe they're going somewhere else on their way. But, yeah, I was like, okay. I mean,
London is very popular for those Christmas lights.
I suppose it would be.
Yeah, it is. It does a very good job. London does a very good job of... I mean, it's dark for like the longest day of the year was a couple of days
from
ago.
Like 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. So yeah, now it's 4:30 exactly where I am, and it's almost pitch black. So we do need a bit of help when it comes to lightening the mood.
Oh yes, joy and yeah, happiness. It's the same like sadness. Here when it's a sunny day, it's like the light sticks around for a little bit longer, but we don't get a lot of sunny days in the wintertime, so. It's dark and sometimes 4:15 instead of 4:30 because the clouds are so thick and dark and then you don't see the sun. But it's been nice the last couple of days, so that's not bad.
It looks like it. I can see out your window now from my little vantage.
Yeah, it's brightening up a little bit. I think the camera is maybe boosting the brightness. It is quite cloudy still, but it's a light cloud. And there was a good sunrise this morning, so there's a break in the clouds somewhere.
Okay.
Because I could see like a little bit of sky kind of in the distance, but really far away.
Are we back?
I think so.
I'm never buying new equipment.
That's up to
again.
You, though. No, it's just, it's wiggly cables and other things like that. I have it with these headphones that I'm wearing. They're almost, what is it? No, they are over 10 years old now, these things. But many years ago, like 8 years ago, or nine, almost immediately after I got them, I bent the connector that plugs in.
Wow.
So it's like, it was kind of like that. So I bent it back straight, but I think I wiggled something I wasn't supposed to when I did that. So sometimes when I plug it in, it works. Sometimes you have to like jiggle it. It's most of the time it works, like 80, 90% of the time. Sometimes it just disconnects though, and you're just gonna like jiggle it while it's in the socket. Otherwise it won't pick up any audio. So that's annoying, and I'm sad about it, but it's okay.
Life goes on, and that's all right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think we were talking about the weather, so let's jump onto something else besides the weather.
Okay, well, I dropped Sarah off at the airport yesterday. Her dad, her brother-in-law, and her catching the same flight to Amsterdam. And then Sarah's mom and I drove back, and Henry, which is Sarah's dad, just says, "Let Tim drive the car back." I was like, "What?" He drives this ID4, this Volkswagen ID4, the electric sort of SUV, whatever it is. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure. I've driven his van before, his Mercedes van, because we needed to borrow it a couple of times. But also, it's like, it's a nice car. I'm like, he's like, just let me drive it back. I'm like, I mean, I guess.
Okay.
Sure.
So, buddy.
Hop in this thing. And you know how all these cars now, they've got this... this different, they've tried to literally redesign the wheel
literally.
With the interior of the car. So some of them now, instead of having a shifting stick for automatics, like if you're driving an automatic, instead of having the shifting stick, they have a dial to change the gear. This one has a knob that you rotate. That's like where your windshield wiper knob would be.
Oh,
it's actually just behind it. So you rotate it to change gears, and it's like, it's nice because it's like near the steering wheel and whatever, but it's fucking weird, man. When first you get in, you're like, how do I even, first of all, you don't start an electric car. Yeah. I get in and I say to Sarah's mom, I'm like, so is there a button that I push to start this thing or something? Cause there's no keyhole. There's nothing. And she's like, just put it into drive. I was like, okay. And you put it into drive and it just turns the car on and it goes, and you're like, oh, egg.
All right.
I've never driven a fully electric car before in my life. I've done hybrids, I guess, or like plug-in hybrids, but they still need a key and there's still a combustion engine in there.
Yeah.
This one, it's just like turn on and like it, like a go-kart just goes. It just fucking goes. And let me tell you about the acceleration on that bad boy. I didn't. I didn't. It was Sarah's mom in the car. I'm not going to drive like a maniac.
But you could have.
I'm going to cut this part out.
Can you leave? Can you leave in the part where you say, I'm going to cut this part out? And then it just jumps to the next big.
Yeah. And then just, and everyone's like, what the fuck did he say? Yeah, I'll leave that in.
Cool. Cool. A little bit more scene.
I got this window perch for the cat.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if I can do this without pulling a wire out.
I can see it.
So it's like balancing on the windowsill. And the tension holds it in place. But he only sits there when I place him on it because it's like a soft undercarriage. Oh, he's doing it.
Oh.
He's doing it. Getting on it. He's going on his own.
Holy shit. This is the first time?
Okay, wow. No, wait, maybe yes, actually. First time on his own. Probably because I'm sitting here and he's like, I want to be close. Because he's a fucking needy little boy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's looking healthy, though.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Sarah's like, oh, he's gaining weight. I'm like, it's winter, Sarah. He needs to bulk up. It's bulking season, baby.
It is bulking season. Got to get that primordial lube or whatever it's called on his belly.
His primordial pouch. That's for self-defense, okay? That's not a weight thing. That's a self-defense thing.
Cool. Cool. I just knew his head primordial in it. That's all. And I wanted to use that word.
Yeah. That's a fancy word.
It is a fancy word.
So yeah, he's just been bulking because it's bulking season. That's all.
Fair enough.
Sarah's wrong. And if you listen to this, you're wrong.
My but you already knew that.
The way he is. Yeah, that's fair. She did. Oh, hang on. Let me lift this a little bit, pal. There you go. Now you can look out the window. So what are we talking about? We're talking about bad driving. Let me tell you, that's
not bad driving. Just not bad driving. Just your first experience with an electric car.
Yeah, me not knowing how to drive an electric car, basically. Just never...
Idiot.
Never been in something that high tech. Like the little lights inside, you know how you have those lights on the ceiling where you press a button and it turns on? They're like motion or touch sensitive now. Like, bro.
Oh, wow. Bruh.
It's fancy. Fucking fancy. Like, you literally just hover your hand and the light turns on. And it doesn't, like, just snap on. Of course, it's got to, like, ease on.
It
slowly breathe. Turns on.
Nice.
Okay, I actually added these. Maybe I said this last time, but I added these smart light switches, I guess you call them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can control the brightness on an app.
Nice.
If it's a dimmer, and also if you want, you can set a schedule so it comes on at a certain time of day or turns off at a certain time of day.
So decent.
I can like dim it from here. I can make it brighter. I can, oh, hang on. Brighter. I can make it dimmer. Look at that.
For context, because this is an audio medium, Tim is changing
the brightness.
So and
it's me changing the brightness. My bad. Yeah. So, sometimes that was more for Lucas than for anyone else.
You cannot see it. Yes.
Yeah, for context. Yeah. You know what? I forgot what I was doing there. I forgot what medium I was in. My apologies.
I love it. Apologies. This is a really
professional. Do you guys have any, I know we're real pros here. Any of those like Ultimate Frisbee tournaments around Christmas? Do they still play around Christmas?
We don't have any tournaments. There's like the indoor season, which is honestly, we play indoors in like gymnasiums and stuff. And honestly, I hate that format. It's super shitty. No, I don't like it. I played a volleyball tournament last week, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's fun.
Yeah, it was good fun. We played... it was a good high level, too. There were some people hitting. There were some people who could go to college to play volleyball in that league. It was good. It was a good league.
Dear God. Dear God.
And I played again. It was 23 pounds for four games, and the games lasted about 30 minutes. So, yeah, about 2 hours of play. Court time. It was good.
How many teams, like how many courts going?
Two courts, and there was five teams on each court. Like, it was a round robin, so you'd play for 30 minutes and then sit off, or you had two games off, or whatever the round robin worked out to be. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, I've had a few people contact me, because I play at least once a week, but sometimes twice a week, and people from those leagues will say, oh, you're free to play on this day or whatever. But it's always like a fucking 10-hour long fucking slog of a tournament. They don't just play for a few hours and then go home. Because yeah. they're all fucking... I don't know if I can say this about... You can say this about any sport, but I will say that volleyball players, many of them, literally fucking, like, they live, breathe, and sleep volleyball. Like, it's just... To the point that it's obnoxious. It's yeah. like, okay. Yeah. Like I love it. It's great fun. It's good for fitness and whatever, and, you know, keeps you active. Very social sport, so on and so forth. But some of these folks that I play with, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I played yesterday and the day before, and then also I'm playing a couple more days, and also this weekend I have a tournament. So, like, 6 or 7 days a week, they're playing volleyball. Wow. I'm like, do you guys, like, do laundry or, like, go home or, like, sleep? Like, what is going on? I was just like, man, like, I don't know if I could ever get to that point where, you know, one thing dominates so much of my time other than, like, a job, you know, because, like, a job, right. Obviously,
of course.
You know, the old ball of Jane, you gotta go punch the clock.
Gotta get that money.
Gotta get that money. Oh, boy. But yeah. Oh, more. Oh, yeah. Get these guys asking me, like, hey, you want to play tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, I guess. I mean, like, I'm like already falling asleep. Yeah. It's like, okay.
I think that's any sport.
Like, you got to play at 8 p.m. at night. It must be any sport. Because, like, I mean, even when we played baseball together, like, we had some players on our team.
Right.
Hardcore about baseball. Or when I very briefly thought about playing soccer in DSS, at DSS. But then I saw the guys who played soccer, and they're like, they lived and breathed it, and I was like, oh, I just kind of want to play, like, once a week, so yeah, maybe, and I didn't do it.
Not for me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I joined the school team, but our school team wasn't that good, so I was like,
No. I played on that school team. We were fine.
Our year was, like, they were competent, but then you go up against schools that, like, you know how each school has their thing? Like, oh, well, this school's a basketball school, or this one's a volleyball school, or this one's a soccer school. I think we were a basketball school. Yeah, maybe a little bit of volleyball, but like, soccer wasn't the focus. So you see, like, some of the teams they go and play against, they're like the soccer school, and they just come and fucking wreck you, because that's, people go to those schools, apparently. Apparently people go to certain schools that can play on the good teams in these weird high school leagues.
Yeah.
And that just seems so foreign to me. Like, in the United States, it seems like a big thing, because it's like, you know, you go into college eventually, and that's a big sporting arena, and then you go into, like, the professional realm or whatever. But here it just seems like, I don't know. Seems weird.
Just go to your local school. Just don't put that much effort or thought into it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I figured. But, hey, whatever. I'm not an elite athlete, so.
Of course. Well, speaking of...
I'm beyond elite. I'm world class. I'm a world class athlete. So I don't need to worry about that.
That is... I know that, Tim. And you don't need to tell me that. Thank you. Our listeners did need to know that.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yes, we do need to inform the group. You guys traveling anywhere for in the new year? Into 2024 now? Leap year. You have an extra day.
I know. An extra day? What are we going to do with it? Probably fuck on nothing. And...
Dope.
What we are going to be doing... Well, I think we talked about our travel plans last time. We're going to come back to Vancouver for a wedding, so we'll be back
in
May. That's right. We haven't made any additional plans since then. There's nowhere specifically off the top of my head that I want to really, really want to go to, so I'm not planning anything. But we will, I'm sure, put something together. And it's the beauty of being here, like, the ability to just go away for a weekend and be somewhere in Europe for a weekend. It's super easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm keen to know what the people that, how much they spent, the three people you mentioned that came over here for Christmas, because I was looking at flights to come back for, I do this every year. And I know what
probably the cost of flights are. Probably a buttload of money.
Yeah. It's really expensive. And so I don't need to learn again. Oh, we're here? We're back. I'm back. Yeah, there's a little lag in the video too, but whatever. Cost of flights. It was just... I don't really want to... I don't want to fly back to Vancouver for the Christmas time. It's so expensive and everybody's traveling. There was strikes at the Eurostar here the other day, which is the Eurostar is the train that goes between Paris, Amsterdam, and London. It's a cool train. Highly recommend anybody who has a chance to go go ride the Eurostar. But there was strikes the one day, so that caused a bunch of backups. And then there was signal failures at one of the train stations. And it was just pure anarchy here in the middle of the week. So, and I'm like, I'm sorry you have to travel during this time. This is why I try and avoid it, because everybody and their dog is trying to travel. And I'm like, maybe I'll just not. So that's what I will do.
Well, even yesterday, I went to London Drugs just around the corner here, and we walked in, kind of a lineup to go pay. Not a big deal, whatever. Like five people lining up, which is unusual for that place because it's not usually that busy. Even you can usually walk up right to a till and just pay. But by the time we'd like circled around and got everything that Sarah needed, she was just getting like some, it's like some travel accessories, like a lock for her bag or whatever, and we circle back around 5 minutes later. It's like 20 people deep on each till. And we're like, oh, fuck. What happened? Like, we were bumping into people all over the store and, like, everywhere we're turning. Yeah. Like, oh, it's like, kind of tight for space in there. And I was like, 2 days before Christmas. And then I go up to the, we're lining up. And we, like, get up to the point where the employee is, like, right next to us because he's trying to direct the lineups. And, like, poor guy's stressing because it's busy as shit. And I'm like, I'm trying to, like, make a little joke and add some levity. And I was like, man, it's kind of busy today. Is there something happening this week? And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry. The system went down for a little bit, so it kind of caused a backup. And I was like, oh, no, man, I was just a joke about how Christmas is in 2 days. I'm like, I'm just messing with you. And he's like, oh, okay, okay. And then like, it went back to work. And I was like, I shouldn't have done that. The poor guy's,
I'm not doing that
the
again.
Poor guy's stressing. He's having a hard day. Yeah, he's like, he's focused on his work. I'm just going to leave him alone. I'm not going to try and make a joke again. I can't imagine how stressful Christmas must be for those poor people, like trying to direct all these mad shoppers. Like, I gotta buy some knickknacks to put in the fucking stocking. Like, losing their minds.
It's true. The Jenna hates it when I do that.
Speaking of, I was doing that as well. I was buying knickknacks.
Oh, I was buying knickknacks. You're part of the problem.
Yeah, I am. I am. Do you guys exchange Christmas gifts, you and Jenna?
No. Yeah.
Or do you not do that?
I bought her a new spatula for the kitchen. She bought me a new Chemex, which is a coffee brewer. So to answer your question, yes, we do.
Without context, that's that sounds a bit weird. Jenna likes to be in the kitchen, guys. She likes it.
She loves it. Loves it in there.
Can we get Jenna's? We should get Jenna's testimonial on that, so that doesn't just sound like us. She likes being in there. Okay, she likes it in there.
She better fucking like it in there.
Oh boy. So wait, the new Chemex, is that a new device or like a filter or like what is this?
No, it was a replacement for it's a filter coffee brewer, and I had one previously, but I've used it so much that basically, from putting hot water in it a bunch, it's made out of glass and the glass just wore out. So one time I was just cleaning it and like pressed a little too hard against it, and it just shattered.
Just shattered?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, well the heating and the expanding and contracting from the heat and I guess from the hot water and stuff.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I'd had it for almost 4 years. So it was like, it was hot and I'd used it not every day, but at least two or three times a week. So it was high time.
Quite a bit. Replacing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do you guys exchange Hanukkah gifts? Is that a Hanukkah thing? Are gifts at Hanukkah a thing?
They are for children. So children get gifts at Hanukkah. Now, at least in some families. I think the thing was that the Jewish kids were all getting upset because all the Christian kids were getting presents at this time of year. And so somebody complained, sent a notice up to the top guys.
Yeah,
people.
They called Jesus. Like, hey.
And they had a come to Jesus moment.
Like, what's the deal, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But also, like, when they were talking to him, like, can you come down for that? You know, because you know, our thing is, like, you haven't been here yet, so can you, like, show up? Appreciate it. All right.
Bye. Yeah, we need you to weigh in.
And you could tell I know nothing about theology whatsoever. Like, I have no idea.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah, just such a dumbass. Oh, man.
What about you? What did you do for Christmas?
No, that's cool.
Exchanges when Sarah's going away, obviously, so.
Oh, yeah. She's in Amsterdam for the next 2 days. So We did a little thing a couple days ago. We got this gift card to a restaurant at a local golf course, Pat Quinn's. Went there, had dinner on the gift card, and then they have this little Christmas tree festival right outside the golf course. So it's all the local businesses, and like the mayor will make one, and the local MP and whatever will donate or make their own, whatever. And you go walk through a bunch of like Christmas trees lit up. It was cool this year. They had an outdoor skate rink out in front of the restaurant. So sweet. It wasn't like full size, but it was refrigerated from the bottom because it's uncovered all the way around the top, refrigerated on the bottom. And yeah, there's a bunch of kids playing hockey. But when I say a bunch of kids, I'm not talking 5-on-5 ice hockey. I'm talking 20-on-20. It was fucking crowded in there. There was so many kids in there. It seemed like it was two full hockey teams in there playing against each other. And because the rink is pure so chaos. Small, they've got these goals that are like only half a meter wide, like tiny little things. And so they have to try and score in these tiny little goals, and it's like just absolute chaos in there. And then in one corner, there's like the younger kids, like the 5-6-year-olds who are doing their own little like their own little thing, and then all the bigger kids are using the rest of the ice. It was fucking chaotic, but it was cool. Yeah, it was fun. It's very very wintry, very Canadian, very cool. And then I was like, I don't know how to skate, so I'm gonna leave because I'm jealous.
Okay,
I mean, I can actually skate. I can skate in like a straight line, and then do a very 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 gradual turn. But no stopping on a dime or turning fast. I can't do that. I can go
super useful.
Because like when we first moved here, I moved into grade 6. When I was 11 years old. They immediately, I think it was like the second week or third week of school, we go to the leisure center. We go skating as like a part of like a field trip. Fucking my parents, mom and dad were like, great, this is cool. So Canadian, let's go skating. They're going skating. But I was like, I have no fucking idea. Everyone knows how to skate because they've been like just been here their whole lives and they've been doing these fucking skating trips. So you have to get the little chair out, the little balancer. I'm like, can I like shuffle around and then like hold onto the boards of the hockey boards. And just, but eventually it got pretty good. I was able to go in a straight line without stopping. But then my stopping method was just run into the boards. So that was about it. Or one of the guys who played hockey would skate up to me and like hold on to me and slow me down. But
that's nice.
That was the extent of my. Did you ever do any of the skating stuff at DSS? Because you went straight to DSS. Yeah.
I went straight to DSS, and I was already comfortable rollerblading, so I could like stand on skates and whatever. But that being said, this is one of my core memories of DSS is the first time we went skating. They're all like, oh, the African kid's gonna be going skating, let's go make fun of him. And literally I was like, don't worry guys, I should be okay. First foot I put on the ice, fell on my ass. Like not even second foot, hadn't even come off the rubber onto the ice, first foot hit that, and I just whoop.
Exact same thing happened to me. Yeah, except it was like I put one foot on the ice and like stood still with both legs on the ice for a second just to kind of see what it felt like. And I was like, oh, I think I got this. Went and put the other foot, the second foot, but in the transition, lost my footing. Quickly like got it back for half a second. Slid out into the ice and then immediately collapsed. And I was like, oh, shit. And then the teacher came and saved me. But it was like they hadn't like really instructed me on how to do it because they thought like, oh, everyone will just like, you know how to just like step onto the ice. And you're supposed to, I think, go on with some momentum, because otherwise, if you stand still, you just fall over.
Apparently.
Unless you really know how to dig your skates into the ice. So, yeah, that was missed. There was no lesson. It was kind of just,
no.
Okay, your skates are on. Go for it. And also, I don't think I got help putting the skates on, so I didn't. I had someone like look at them, like, oh, they look good, but I don't think I put them on right, because I was just copying everyone else.
Right.
But you're 11 years old. Like, how well can you like really do skates if you've never done it before?
Yeah.
So they were kind of loose, and so I didn't really have good control. And yeah, good times. Confessions of an African immigrant to Canada.
There was that. There was.
Did you have any other experiences like that?
Well, my other experience, I might have talked about this on the podcast before, is but we played baseball quite a lot when we were in South Africa, which was uncommon to be playing baseball in South Africa. So when we came to Canada, I was like, I'm going to play baseball, obviously. And so the coach at the time was heard this story that they're getting this kid from Africa to come play baseball with him. Now, obviously, stereotypes clicked in immediately, and they're like, we're getting this fucking athlete.
A black
this
kid.
This black guy, yeah. And this absolute unit is coming in. He's going to make our baseball team a lot better. And I show up, this like awkward 5'9", probably 6 foot, or so close to 6 foot at the time, kid who shows up, and they're like,
kind of a lanky white kid.
Yeah, they're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm Lucas. I'm the new kid from South Africa. And they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, no. Yes, I am.
You can't be. They set their hopes so high.
Yeah. So
we've got a pale white kid instead of what we wanted. Oh no.
Yeah, that's so wild. A bit of a letdown for them in that sporting. And I think for a lot of people here, when I live in London now, and I tell people, they're like, oh, it's like, where are you from? I really like to throw them for a loop and say, oh, I'm from Vancouver, Canada, but I was originally born in South Africa. And they get that like, you can just see the mental gymnastics happening.
They're trying to look at the map in their mind, like, so he went over there. And then,
that's far. That's not close at all. Yeah, and because I sound like this now.
Well, that must be everyone in London, though. Everyone that they speak to is like, there's not a lot of people who live in London who are from London, I imagine. I imagine most are implants from elsewhere.
Yeah, you know? There's hardly, if you meet somebody who grew up in London and lives in London currently, they're a unicorn. They don't come around very often.
Yeah, quite rare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, Vancouver is similar in a way. You hear someone say, oh, you know, born and raised in Vancouver, because it's such a big immigration town. Like, not a lot of people who live here are from here. And plus, I've been working in tourism for a while. People always ask, oh, yeah, you know, if you're born and raised in Vancouver? And it's like, no, born, you know, down in South Africa, and then came here, blah blah blah, and it's the same conversation every time.
Well, there's no accent. Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. Every time.
Like, yeah. No. Well, you know, you kind of adapt to the accent of the country you move to, especially as a child. I had a speech pathologist on my tour once, and she gave me the whole science of it. She's like, "Yeah, well, actually," and she was explaining to the whole bus how it all worked, and everyone was like entranced by this explanation, but none of us understood it because it was very complex, like psychology, like stuff. And we're all like, yeah, cool. And then she's explaining all the reasons, blah, 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 and why people's accents change, especially when they're younger, and how you can get like a merging almost of like sometimes your parents' accents versus whatever. And then we're all like, okay. And then immediately I forgot the entire explanation. But basically, I think it boils down to like when you're younger, it's more likely you'll take on the accent of a new place that you live in, as opposed to like an adult. Like mom and dad still sound pretty much like they did when I was
But they only younger, left.
At least from what I remember. When they were like mid-20s.
They're like, home countries, I guess. Yeah, in their mid-20s. So they had a chance to fully develop and institutionalize their accents. Because dad's accent is still, when people meet him, they're like, your dad's accent's amazing. It's so great.
All right. Yeah. Well, he came back from his trip to see Richard recently, and he was saying about how he goes up north where he's from, or sort of close to it, rather. You know, hangs out with his friends for a bit, and his accent starts to regress back to the full blown accent that he used to have when he was younger. Definitely. He's got more of a neutral accent now, but he's got this weird northern accent that he like little slang words that he uses there, but he doesn't use here or anywhere else. I find that's quite interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But apparently it's different with males as well, because male brains don't develop till later, I guess, till like mid-20s. Don't finish developing, I suppose. Whereas nice women, I guess, finish earlier. Yeah, good on you, fellas. You dummies. So apparently that's a factor as well. This woman was going through the whole thing. I was like, it's really interesting.
I think we're back.
Well, you'll hear it for the first time, I guess, when we play it.
Because I lost your audio in my head, so that's story, I was talking about how, you like, recorded that story, but I can hear it.
I've had a civil engineer on my bus before explaining things like dynamic compaction, which here in Richmond you've got, or here in Richmond and Delta, it's on a river delta. So you've got to like pack a building site down with, they use river silt here because it's super heavy and dense. And he says, yeah, you lay it on a building site for a long time. Sometimes you can use a big like pounding machine, like a big weight, basically, and just pack the ground down nice and tight. But he's like, also you can just lay something on it for a while, crush it down, and it's called dynamic compaction. I was like, oh wow, I just thought it was a big pile of dirt. He's like, no. So there's like all these little things like you don't even think about day to day, like people's accents or dynamic compaction. And yet some people's career are like all based around, where am I going with this? I have no idea. But the Wonder Boys podcast.
That's what we're here for.
That's basically just, that should be our slogan. Yeah. Just where am I going with
where
this?
Where am I going?
What are we doing?
And we'll get to the end of like a subject or something we've talked about, and we'll be like, why are we here? Oh yeah, we were talking about traffic 16 minutes ago.
What's the point?
Let's go back to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know where to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so what's the bachelor life for 2-3 weeks? What's the top of the agenda to get done?
Well, I am going to walk the dog, top of the agenda. That's a big one.
Okay, then number two.
That's actually why I took off 3 weeks, because I was like, well, Sarah's away. It'd be easier if I didn't have to go to work and figure out the dog situation. Because they don't mind him in the office, but when he's in the office, it kind of limits my capabilities at work, where my job's quite mobile, and sometimes I have to go on the road, and I don't want to leave him alone at the office. Oh, he's moving.
He's had enough sits.
Yeah. So, hang on. I'm just going to help him. Okay. There you go, big guy. Yeah, so going to do that. It's going to just tidy up a little bit. When we moved in back in August, it was the end of August, early September, kind of just threw a bunch of stuff into boxes and like shoved it into the cupboard. Didn't really organize a lot of stuff. It was just kind of like trying to, you know, move into the new apartment. Because I only took like 4 days off, 5 days off to facilitate the move, but nothing to like really organize stuff. So I'm going to try and organize some. It's mostly my stuff, just stuff I haven't been able to let go of or whatever. Or some of the stuff that you left here when you left to go to.
You can just bin it, man. Either throw it on Facebook Marketplace or throw it in the bin.
I did, actually. When we moved, it was mostly like deodorants and creams.
Oh,
And like a few other things here and there. It wasn't anything major. It was just like the bathroom at one point. I realized most of this stuff isn't mine. Or like half of this stuff is mine. Yeah. But I don't know where the other half came from. And it was like moisturizer and like shampoo and stuff that I never bought. And I was like, I don't remember buying this. It's like, oh, Lucas bought the shampoo. I see, yes. and those were expired anyway, so I got rid of them. But no, like little stuff like that. I'm going to organize. Take care of the boys. I'm going to do some studying because I have some aviation-related studies to complete.
Oh, nice. And then, you have an exam to take.
What else? I do. I have a written exam, which I took it once, actually, back in like, it must have been back in August. And you need 80% to pass, but I got like 73%.
Not good enough.
And then I was like, I'll go back soon and retake it. And I just never did because I got really busy with work and kind of learning the ropes with this new puppy, trying to work around that. And yeah, just got busy with everything. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to refresh my memory, refresh my knowledge base, and go take it again.
Fuck yeah.
Because I have to take it, get the 80%, and then go back and take another one. Because the first exam is like a qualifier for the actual exam. And then the actual exam, you only have to get 60%. So 60 questions out of 100, right. And then you pass, but
and then for listeners' clarity, because I'm sure there's people who listen to this podcast who are anxious flyers. This isn't for a commercial pilot's license.
No, it's for a private pilot's license. that being said, however, I think it's true even for commercial pilot's license. Right. 60. I think the pass grade's 60%, but that's just the knowledge test. So the flight test is the most important.
Of course.
Where, you know, you actually go up in the air with an instructor and they examine you and, you know, basically determine, do you fly safely?
So to review, your knowledge of how to fly a plane only needs to be 60% good. But being able to actually fly the plane, you need to be 100% good.
Yeah. But the thing about it is you're not allowed to fail any category. There's five categories. So 20 questions each. If you fail any of those, so you get less than 60% on any of those, you have to retake that
right
section. You have to relearn that section. So if you, you know, if you fail in the navigation section, you have to redo that. If you fail in the law, the air law section, you redo that or whatever. So,
all right.
Yeah. And I think that's part of why the club I'm at says the recommendation grade is 80% because they want to make sure people are actually pretty competent.
Yeah.
I'm sure like there's some C plus doctors out there. Okay. I'm sure there's some fucking C plus surgeons fucking cutting people open. So
for clarity,
you can't
that
get on
is
pilots
about
too much for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. 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 You can't bug those. And the pilots, like, they have this recertification process, which happens. I forget how often it is for airlines, but airlines, it is pretty often. It's like every 12 months, I think.
Yeah.
You literally have to go in. Be recertified by an instructor to continue flying on the planes that you're certified to fly on. So, and that's, you know, mandated by law and by usually companies' policies. They'll say you have to do this because
yeah,
not good for like Air Canada or KLM or British Airways if one of their pilots, you know, just is a fucking dummy, hasn't been reviewing the information, just flies into a, you know, side of a mountain or whatever. So
funny.
They want to make sure that everyone's. It's super tightly regulated.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
super tightly regulated.
No, I just find it, it's like one of those things that obviously somebody who is an anxious flyer would pick up on immediately, being, wait a second, you only need to be 60%
oh,
good
yeah,
to
yeah,
fly
yeah.
a plane? Oh my God.
Well, that's true. I mean, maybe if you've been on a plane with a rough landing, maybe that was a 60%er. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe you don't know.
Sarah said her landing was pretty smooth in Amsterdam today, so maybe that was 100%
was
pilot 100% that was flying that thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, it's fine, guys. It's fine. There's so many, like, nowadays, like, you ever watch the show Mayday? You ever watch that on the Discovery Channel? Where it's like the crash investigation show. So that's all based on, like, aviation disasters that happened, like, in the 40s and 50s and whatever. And each time something like that happens, they learn from it and they fix it. Like, one I watched the other day. Do you know why airplane windows are round?
I do know the answer to this, but you can explain
it. Or oval, rather?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, now you're going to make me explain this.
And yeah.
You know the answer, so that makes it even more pressure. Okay. So back in, like, the, I think it was the 50s, there was this passenger airliner that was flying, I think it was de Havilland, so it was a de Havilland Comet, so it's a Canadian designed aircraft.
Oh boy.
And it's flying. It flies for like 2 years. And because it's one of the first jet planes, they had to pressurize it so that people don't pass out while they're flying. And pressurization basically keep the air pressure the same as it would be on the surface or relatively close. Because otherwise the air gets too thin the higher you fly and people would pass out from or get hypoxia and so on. So been putting stress on the airframe. Particularly right next to a window. The windows used to be square. And on the corner of that square, the frame, I guess, wasn't as strong flying in the air. Basically, just the air just pushed the plane apart from the inside out. Now, someone's saying, well, they pressurize planes now. That's how is that going to happen? They explain how they fix it. They double rivet. Everything is, it's like, it's almost impossible to depressurize a plane now or like to make that happen again. And yeah, they made oval windows because it's a more consistent shape and, you know, it doesn't create a certain weak point, and that's why your windows are oval on a plane now.
Nailed it. Nope, yeah, absolutely nailed it. Yeah, it's a good show. Yeah, if you and you said 40s and 50s, there's accidents from the 90s and early 2000s too, so it's not like ancient history.
Oh yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, well, there's that, even this year, there was an Air Force or like a U.S. Navy plane that went off the end of a runway in Hawaii and it like landed in the bay there. And there's a video online now of how they got it out. They floated it out.
Oh, wow. But
imagine making that mistake. Like fucking, it's like a 737 or something that they just like landed. It's one of those radar airplanes or whatever.
Oof. Yeah.
And just went off the end of the runway. Like, oh, shit, dude. My bad.
Yeah.
Weird.
No, planes are awesome. Wild. There's a lot of safety that goes into it. If you're an anxious flyer, don't be. You have higher chance of being killed on the road than you do in an airplane.
Oh, totally. Totally. And it's the smartest people on the planet designing those planes. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
They send people to space. You'll be fine.
That's it. And nothing ever bad happens in space.
Dude, nothing bad ever happens in space. Yeah, dude, no. It's fine up there. No. So good. We mostly die on our way to space, but once we're in space, we're fine.
Yeah, that is the trouble, is getting to space. That's
correct. It's getting there that kills people. It's not actually being there, it seems, based on historical record. It's getting there. That is quite dangerous.
Did you see our news about the International Space Station? They lost a tomato or something.
The window or whatever?
No. On the International Space Station, there was a scientist was growing a tomato in space, and one of them went missing. And he was like, everyone's like, what did you do? And they started accusing him of eating the tomato.
Of eating the tomato? Like, dude's life work is literally like, he's like, I'm snacky. I feel snacky.
It went like 6 or 7 months went by, and like there was like international arguments about like what happened to this tomato. And it turns out they found it. It was like it had just floated because there's no gravity. It had just floated
ripe,
away.
It was ripe, so it detached.
Yeah. It had just floated away and it gotten stuck somewhere and they found it. They're like, is this the fucking tomato?
Is this it?
So yeah, quite
some guy's
funny.
Sleeping in his little like sleep pod and like something's pumping, like touching his face. He's like, who's fucking doing this? Wakes up, is this tomato just floating into his mouth?
Hilarious. Yeah, hilarious. Speaking of zero gravity, I'm currently just finishing the book series that is the TV show The Expanse is based on. That's what I wanted to say. So that
I've lost you. One sec.
Oh,
pause. Don't keep talking. Stop.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? What about if I keep talking now? I think we really need to stop using Google Meets for this, because I think that is the fucking issue, because I lost him during a story there. He went blank for 10 seconds, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Probably the same thing happening for him now.
You still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me, Tim? Can you hear me? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Can you hear me, Tim?
Oh, you're back now.
I'm back. I think it's not Google Meets. It's my fucking laptop. I lost you during your story for 10 seconds, and you lost me during my story for 10 seconds.
Yeah, you just started talking about a book series or something.
Okay, so I can continue. Yeah, perfect. So yeah, The Expanse, yeah. The TV show, is based on this book series that I'm reading.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I've read a couple of those. Well, I audiobooked the first two.
Very good. Very, very good. So I'm just finishing the final book. It's a 9-book series. So if you want to invest, go for it. It's well worth it.
Yeah, wow.
Well, one of the things they really do really well is they're true to the science of like space. So in this most recent book, they bring a dog in the spacecraft for the first time, and they talk about like keeping the dog. Like, how do you get a dog to pee in space? A dog's just going to pee when it wants to pee, right? But then if you're if you're under zero gravity, it's just going to float. Or if they're going to poop, it's just going to float. So they have like the mechanic Amos on the ship figures out. He reads like some news articles like how to keep a dog in space, like on their like massive intergalactic news network, and learns about like how to vacuum up shit and poo from a dog in space. It's funny to learn about when you're reading about it. So no, I really love the book series. Can highly recommend it.
I found out about Libby, which. I don't know if this is available everywhere around the world, but you can connect it to your local library, which I've been doing a lot now because turns out my local library has a ton of audiobooks and a ton of regular books as well. So, I mean, go to your library. But I listened to the first two Expanse novels. I don't know what this series is called as a book series, but...
I don't either. I think it's just this series, the Expanse.
Because they're all just different titles. They're just... different titles. Yeah. There's no like overarching title. I thought it was really good. And they go into so much detail about, like you said, the science of everything, the sort of explaining how everything works, especially in the combat situations, like flying, and people like can black out from G forces and whatever, and how their weapons have to be very specifically calibrated or targeted or whatever in space, because then, you know, laws of physics and all that stuff. It's very cool. It's quite interesting. And plus the story's quite compelling as well. So that's kind of nice. It's not just all about like, ooh, nerdy science shit. It's actually like a very compelling story, which keeps you invested. And the show's good too. I just felt like the show kind of petered out at the end, you know? I don't know if you ever watched the whole show.
I haven't watched the most recent Yeah, I haven't watched the most recent season, but I was definitely feeling that in that they were just like running out. Well, I mean, they got canceled twice.
They were not willing to continue it, I think. That was it.
Yeah.
That was kind of the... Because they end it. They don't go all the way through 9 books. I think it's like 6 seasons in the end. So they go through like maybe 5 or 6 books.
Yeah.
And then end it there.
Yeah.
So they don't follow through on the entire series, which you can kind of tell. Like when the show ends, you're like...
Right.
It feels like this is not where the original authors planned for it to end.
Yeah.
But anyways, so it's a pretty good series. The last season's pretty good. It just feels a bit like rushed. And you kind of like leaves you wishing like, hey, maybe they could just do a little bit more. And it would wrap it up quite nicely.
Agree.
But yeah, I suppose money and time and all that's a big factor, and especially with TV. But
exactly.
I thought Amazon would want like a flagship show that they could... Because there's not like one thing on Amazon that people are like, oh, you got to watch it. Like HBO has the Game of Thrones things now. Or the House of Dragon, rather. Netflix has got like 1,000 Christmas movies, which apparently everyone's all about because it keeps suggesting things to me.
Of course.
Disney Plus has all the Star Wars and Marvel stuff or whatever. But Amazon Prime, it's kind of just like, you know, if it's not on the other ones, maybe I'll check Prime out, you know?
Prime does have the new season of Reacher, though, with our boy.
Oh, I did watch the season one of that. That was really good. Because I read the first book, actually. I read the book it's based on, the first season. And it did a pretty good job, actually, adapting the book.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed him as Reacher, too. He's just he's an absolute unit. Like, he's
biggest man
huge.
Alive. He's the largest person to ever exist. Yeah,
oh,
he's massive.
God. Yeah.
Well, that's how he's written in the book, too, because in the book, he's like apparently 6'5 or whatever, 6'6, and he's like built like full of muscle. And the fact that he actually got an actor who actually fits the bill and he's actually a pretty good actor, you're like, wow, okay, wow, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can get a John Cena or whatever, but John Cena's got a certain character type that I think he fits. You know, he's big and muscly and whatever, yeah, but he doesn't either like the funny Suicide Squad type of character or
correct
fucking Fast and Furious villain.
He's a punching bag
turned good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen the most recent Fast and Furious movies, like Fast F9 and Fast X?
I haven't seen Fast X. That's the one that's like up in Scotland quite a lot, isn't it? They're like in Edinburgh at one point.
To be honest, they all blend together and I have no idea, but
yeah, I don't think I've watched it.
Fast X is the one with Aquaman in it as the villain. Jason Momoa.
Definitely haven't seen that.
Big Samoan man. Is he Samoan? I don't know. Pacific Islander man.
I mean, Momoa. Samoa. I can
see
how
that's,
you made
that's
that
kind of where my mind went. When I heard Momoa, I was like, maybe he's from Samoa. I know he's a Pacific Islander heritage kind of guy. Maybe Hawaii. Oh my God. You've got to watch. If you haven't seen F9, The Fast Saga, watch that one. Because, first of all,
okay,
Tej and Roman fucking go to space. Like, they fucking go to space in a car. And then Fast X, I can't remember what happens. Fast X was a bit of a disappointment. I'll say that. I'll say, compared to Fast 9,
aww.
Dude.
How do you top going to space?
Bro, I know. How do you top going to space? You don't. That's the fucking answer. You don't. Yeah, those movies. Like, Sarah and I watched them all through. Like, she doesn't stay awake for movies. She doesn't watch movies, really. She doesn't really do very well with those. But the Fast and Furious movies, we watched all of them through and fucking loved them. Because they're just so bananas. They're absolute. I'd recommend them to anyone I meet. Because people are like, oh, it's kind of lowbrow. That's the whole point, bro. That's the whole point. And so you're kind of there just for the experience. You're just like, what is happening? I don't know what's going on.
Just
who came up with this?
Exactly.
Like,
Tim, I'll cut you short there. What is your favorite Christmas movie? And you can't say Die Hard.
I do like Home Alone a lot. Or...
Oh, fuck yeah.
Home Alone's good. Or even... what's the one where the kid gets his tongue stuck on a pole? Is that called A Christmas Story?
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, the PS...
yeah, the Canada level.
Yeah.
That was a good game. I like that game. It is A Christmas Story. Ralphie, I think he gets his tongue stuck in a pole. That's a good one. I like that one. But I haven't seen that since I was a kid, so I don't know if I still like it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that or Home Alone, probably. Die Hard is a Christmas movie, where anyone who says otherwise is silly. It's set at Christmas. It's 100%. A Christmas movie. It's about family.
It's
so
a Christmas movie. 100%.
Get over yourself.
and saving family. That's right. Getting
presents. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Which is why I love the Fast and Furious movies. But back to Christmas movies, family. Die Hard is for sure. Someone was asking the other day, like, is Iron Man 3 a Christmas movie because it's set around Christmas? And then everyone said, oh, is every movie set around Christmas a Christmas movie? I think so.
Hell yeah.
You know? I think so. And we just need more Christmas movies.
Why is your voice getting so high?
I think so.
Oh, bang. Smack my hand on the table. Well done, Lucas.
Oh, I've been kicking the mic stand here all day.
Love that for you. Oh, I'm sure this audio quality with all the jump cuts and
all the interruptions and done here. We're a professional operation. We really know what we're doing here, folks.
Totally. We totally. We should do this again sometime.
We should do it again sometime. Perhaps in the new year, in 2024.
Yeah. It sounds like the dog's getting ready for a walk.
He is, actually. He's just gotten up from the couch. He was sleeping. But now he's right next to me.
Okay. Let's have a look at this pooch. Hey, pooch.
Oh, where are you, pooch?
Hey. Hey, doggo. Oh, he's a big doggo. Hey, buddy. He's going to get much bigger?
Maybe not much taller. He's pretty tall now, but apparently he might get bulkier. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. He's pretty big now. Weighed him the other day. He's 24, 25 kilos. So, like, just over 50 pounds. He's a big boy. He's a big boy.
He's a big boy. And can you, because Katie got mad at me. Hey, Katie. She got mad at me not knowing the breed or anything of the dog.
Oh, my God. Dude, I don't even know the breed. People ask me, like, I'm out walking. I'm like, oh, what kind of breed is he? I'm like, well, he's a dog. And that's...
He is a black dog.
He is a black dog. With some brown hints to his fur. No, I think the consensus at the shelter that we got him from was he was a Labrador mixed with a pit bull and perhaps some shepherd in his lineage, which those are just words to me. Apparently, they each have different personalities. So his Labrador is, he's like friendly and
one
playful.
One of them's Mr. Worldwide. Another one.
Yeah, Mr. Worldwide. Pitbull. Mr. World. He was here in Vancouver recently. He did a concert here with, get this, triple act, Enrique Iglesias and Ricky Martin. It was Ricky Martin,
not
Enrique Iglesias,
those two.
And Pitbull. It was like a Latin American just explosion of flavor in Vancouver for one night. so wild.
Very unstable herbs.
I know. Oh my God. It was when I heard it was happening, I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Can you repeat say again? What? Pitbull, Enrique Iglesias, and Ricky Martin? What's happening? How do those three fit together?
Why?
I
love it.
But apparently it was a pretty good show. So,
love it.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we're talking about the dog. Yeah, Pitbull. He likes to chew on stuff. Labrador, he's very friendly.
We're going to have to change the name of this fucking podcast to... What were we talking about?
What were we talking about again? Yeah, I think... Yeah, people keep asking. And, like, the thing about I've noticed about walking the dog is people are very friendly because they see the dog. They kind of, like, let their guard down a little bit and they say hi and they... There's actual eye contact and stuff. But then other dog owners, you're at a park or whatever, and the dogs are playing or whatever, and it's the same conversation every time. Oh, yeah, what is he? Like, oh, it's like a lab? Yeah. A little pit bull in there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's really playful. He's friendly. Yeah, he's great. He's 9 months old. Yeah. And it's just the same thing every fucking time. And, it's not bad. It's nice because people are friendly and, you're chatting, and that's kind of a shared common... Yeah, yeah. Thing that you can talk about, but the last couple days, like 2 days ago, I was at a park. Yeah, at a park, I was like, there's another dog owner there, and their dog was playing, and I was like actively taking Indy to the other side of the park so I wouldn't have to talk to them about their fucking dog. You know, I'm sure they're nice and everything. It's just like, I was like, I know how this conversation is going to go. So I'd rather not. Thank you. And especially because, like I said, I was mentioning audiobooks. I like to just, when I'm walking him now, because he's pretty good. I don't need to listen out for any like hazards around us. So I said, oh, I could bring headphones with me now. So I listen to audiobooks while I'm walking him. And I don't want those fucking losers to interrupt my audiobook. Like, bro, I'm reading right now.
Oh, damn right. Hell yeah.
Especially with Libby. Libby's got all these freaking great... This is sponsored by Libby, by the way.
Brought to you by Libby, your local library on your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually really handy. Where is it?
Oh, he's got it. He's got it on this.
Libby.
That's the same one. Yeah, it's super nice. Is there a London library you can subscribe to? Or?
There probably is, but I get access to Microsoft's library too. So Microsoft has a bunch of library books
fancy.
Like self-development and like professional enhancement books and stuff. So advancement, not enhancement.
Enhance. Yeah, they want you to enhance yourself.
Enhance. I do want to say a very topical, I knew this was going to happen. So one of the Scottish guy who's coming over for dinner, you asked earlier. I asked Jenna, I was like, what time do you want people to come over for? And she's like, say 6-ish. And I was like, do you want them to come over for 6 or do you want them to come over for 7? Because 6-ish is literally any time between 6 and 7.
And 7, yeah.
So what do you want it to be? She's like, just say 6-ish. So I was like, all right, well, I'm fucking rolling the dice on this. And I wrote 6-ish. Get a message about 20 minutes ago. So 6-ish equals 6:30/6:45.
Yeah, I knew it.
Scottish guy.
I fucking knew it.
I said, no, closer to 6, but if that's what you have to do, he's like, ah, gotcha. Can we say 6:30 if that's okay? I read it as we're telling you 6, but come later than that. And I was like, yeah. I fucking knew that would happen.
Should have just said 6:30. Should have just said 6:30.
Should have just said 6:30. Anyways.
That's all right. Are you guys eating right away? Or are you, you said you're making the sushi then eating? Or what?
We're actually making like the sushi. So that was the intention for them coming over at 6. Exactly. Yeah. So there'd be like all the ingredients in the middle of the table and then everybody can roll their own sushi.
And then you roll your own thing. Okay. That's interesting. Because have been, this is something that I've been thinking about lately a lot. Dinner time. I like an early dinner time, like a 6:30 dinner time. Sarah, it is.
Okay. That means you're cooking at like 5.
I'm cooking at 5:30 to have it ready 6:30.
Okay.
Sarah is more flexible, which is probably a good thing, being flexible with it. But I am inflexible, but I can still eat at 6:30. But anyways, I don't know where I'm going with this. Another motto for the Wonder Boys podcast. I guess like we do an audience poll. Like, what is it? Like, what do you do? An early dinner, or are you doing like, are you a psychopath who eats dinner at 8 p.m.? Which I'll tell you right now,
we're going to name it that for sure.
But yeah, I've done it before 8 p.m., but it's only if I've had like something to eat at 4 or 5 p.m. to like hold me over to dinner, like. If I'm eating at 8 p.m. and I haven't eaten since lunchtime, I'm punching people. I'm like, get the fuck out of the way. I need to eat some. Anyways,
fair enough.
I'm not married to the idea. I'm not married. I can be convinced about a later dinner time. I need empirical evidence. I need some hard evidence.
I think for me, the early dinner is really tough because I usually stop working at like 5:36. So I'm only like home after the gym or something at like 7 ish to start cooking dinner. So dinner is usually on at like 7:38. Yeah.
Ridiculous. But I've seen your office, bro. I've seen your office. You guys got snacks on snacks on snacks.
Yes.
I don't always have snacks on snacks on snacks.
That's true. That's true.
So
yeah. So whatever. I can't. I'm a bad example. Well, Jenna fucking her dad, they're hilariously. Her dad always said, eating an early dinner is like eating dinner. We're not bricklayers. We don't eat with the bricklayers. And it's like, why is this Italian society hating on the bricklayers?
Like, what is this? What is this? Like, a 20th century analogy? I'm too young to understand. I missed this one.
Sorry, guys. So she's always had a late dinner, which, fine, fair. but slowly but surely, we don't eat super late. Like, we're trying to get people come over for 6:30. It's 6-ish, apparently.
Mm-hmm. 6-ish is, I guess, the perfect time. No, like, I don't mind eating late. We ate late the other night. We went to that Christmas tree thing. We ate pretty late. It was like 7:30, yeah. 8 p.m. But I knew it was going to happen that way, so that was fine. I think more of it is like,
yeah, as long
like
as you're
what
ready
time do I prepare like, yeah. for dinner? But we haven't I guess, determined a regular dinner time, which is what's confusing me.
Oh.
Like, it's more day-to-day than it is regular.
Fair.
Which confuses me.
But you'd like to have some sort of idea.
Yeah, just like a floating idea between 6-ish. Like a 6-ish. Is that a 6-ish? Or is it like a 7-ish? Or is that going to...
Could use a 6-ish. So we'll put an Instagram poll together. When yeah. When do you eat dinner? When would you
six-ish
prefer to eat dinner?
Or 7-ish?
For our five listeners, hopefully we'll get a decent pool. And yeah, we can hear Indy just going ballistic.
Yeah, bro, what the fuck is he doing? He just fell off the couch. He's not... Don't tell Sarah, and I don't think she's going to listen to this. He's not supposed to be on the couch unless I invite him onto the couch, and he's not been invited this morning, but he's been on it twice. Oh, three times. He's been on it three times now.
Oh, no.
It's just...
No, you got to tell him to get down. Listen, motherfucker.
I'll do it in a sec here. Indy. Down. Off.
Down. This is going to be a real testament of how good his training is.
Look who it is. Look who it is. Look who's right next to me. Look at this boy.
Ah, yeah.
Look at this boy.
That's right. And he's licking his making up.
Good boy.
Damn right.
You're a good boy. Yeah. You're a good boy. Where's a good boy? You have to reward him. You have to reward him with admiration and attention when he does something that you want him to do. Good job, buddy. Good job. Oh, he's a good boy. Well then, now that we've got our poll set up and we're going to ask our four listeners what they think, how are we going to wrap this bad boy up?
Just like you do a Christmas present, you're going to put the paper around it.
I'm going to
start folding nicely.
Get a little ribbon in there?
Yeah, you're going to put some tape on?
Get a little bow on
it? A little
there?
Ribbon. Put a bow on it. Wish everybody well. Drink too much wine or not enough wine or whatever it is.
Whatever you want.
Have a happy new year. Have a happy fucking whatever you want. We'll see you in 2024. Well, he won't see you, but
you'll podcast hear us in 2024. We'll see you in June of 2024. That's when we'll see you.
Yeah, maybe if we get to it.
Maybe if we get to it. Maybe July. Let's be safe. August. You know what? September sounds good.
Pencil it in.
Yeah, we'll
easily
pencil
erasable.
It in for we'll pencil it in for October. Pencil it in. You know, I hear November's a nice time of year. Heck, let's just do a one-year reunion 1 year from now. Let's do a one-year reunion.
This time, same place, same audio channel.
Yeah. Just save this podcast for next year. Just save it for December 24th, 2024. Just save it.
You know how like creators always say like, hey, like and subscribe so you know when, hit that little notification bell so you know when things are coming out. You don't have to bother with us.
Yeah, this time you can kind of just like check in a couple of years, like, oh, I wonder if they're still doing it. And then, yeah, there'll be a couple episodes there. Yeah.
You might. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you in the next one.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
That little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm wishing everybody, I mean everybody, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Año Nuevo. Y como dice abuelita, Happy New Year and Merry Christmas.